The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. O Lord, have mercy on us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parable of the weeds among the wheat is the second of seven parables of Jesus Matthew records in the 13th chapter of his gospel. Last week we considered the parable of the sower, perhaps better titled, the parable of the soils. Jesus seemed to be addressing the question, what's going on, as he told that parable. His disciples had to have been wondering why he was facing increasing opposition. Initially, his preaching and teaching and miracles had been eagerly received by growing crowds. But that was no longer the case. Now he was facing rising opposition. What's going on? They must have been wondering. With the parable of the soils, Jesus had taught them that there wasn't anything wrong with the seed, the message that he was proclaiming. His word was good seed. Rather, the lack of a harvest was due to the soil on which that word was falling. Many rejected his word or received it only superficially or allowed all the other things in their lives to crowd out the word. Even good seed won't grow in the middle of a highway, won't produce where its roots have been stunted, can be crowded out if there's lots of thorny competition. Thus Jesus began to explain what was going on. But there was more to tell. With his parables of the soils, he had explained why some of the good seed that he'd been speaking hadn't produced fruit. But fruitlessness of some seed was only part of the problem. The unproductive soils accounted for some people's disinterest or falling away, but not for the opposition to his teaching or the hostility directed to him. There was something else going on, something diabolical. And so Jesus speaks another parable that explains both where the weeds, those opposing him, originated, and what he was going to do about them. As Jesus begins the parable, it's pretty straightforward. A man, the Son of Man as it turns out, sows good seed on his field. He sends out his word throughout the world. But his enemy, who has opposed him from the very beginning, wants to destroy this good planting. Surreptitiously, secretly, this enemy sows weed seeds throughout the field. So that no matter where you look, wheat and weeds are growing together. Truth and counterfeit truth are right there side by side. That's an important issue in this parable. The two sorts of plants, the wheat and the weeds, of which Jesus speaks, weren't distinguishable from one another until the wheat set its grain head. Only then, after the plants had grown side by side and matured, their roots had woven themselves together, only then did the servants of the master recognize that there was a problem in the field. So what form do the weeds that Satan sows take? Surely one of them is, you can be like God. And along with it, has God really said? Satan was sowing weeds when he was talking with Eve and Adam under that fruit tree in the middle of the garden. He suggested an alternate reality to subtly deceive them and lead them away from God and into destruction. I'm sure you've heard something like, we all worship the same God after all, or it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere and try to do your best. These assertions sound pretty reasonable. You wouldn't want to be closed-minded and to insist that there's only one truth, would you? And yet the scriptures say, there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Salvation is only in Jesus. No matter how hard anyone tries to save himself, he's bound to fail. For we read, truly no man can give to God the price of his life. The scriptures teach that bridge, self-salvation, is out. There is no one righteous, not even one. All our righteous acts are like toxic rags. And whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. St. Paul tells us, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. But that doesn't change the nature of his teachings, nor the destruction to which they lead. So what to do? That's the question the servants ask of their master right after he has told them why there are weeds there intermingled among the wheat. Do you want us to go and gather the weeds? They ask. Their Lord's answer indicates that the wheat and the weeds must continue to exist side by side in the world until the day of judgment. There will be a separation that takes place, but that task of separating is reserved for the reapers on the last day and will not take place before that. there won't be any heaven here on earth, ever. Note well the wonderful reason why it is that the Master gives this instruction. He doesn't want any of his wheat, not even one single plant, not even a single grain of wheat, to be lost. So it is in mercy that Jesus allows the weeds to grow for now, lest any of the good plants which his word has brought forth, any of the souls who have come to faith, be harmed or damaged. As St. Peter writes concerning the apparent delay in Christ's return, the Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It is out of concern for the wheat that Jesus doesn't want the weeds rooted out, lest as the weeds are pulled, some of the wheat is also uprooted. As Jesus explains the parable, he says, "The field is the word. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one." While this identification is essential in making sense of the parable, the question, who's who, remains. What happens when you look in your heart? What do you see? Is the evidence 100% for wheat? Unfortunately, none of us has to poke around in dark corners to find indications of our own weediness. Jesus says that the angels will gather all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. Have you ever been the cause of anyone sinning? Have you ever broken God's holy law? How does that shoe fit? Wheat or weeds? St. Paul describes our action all too accurately in the epistle reading we heard a couple of weeks ago. "I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." So where does that leave you? That's a question this parable raises, but doesn't answer. Jesus, though, provides the answer. Indeed, Jesus is the answer. For along with the good seed, God sowed his own Son into this world. Isaiah records, "He grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. And he bore perfect fruit. He broke no laws. He was never the cause of sin. But instead of being gathered up as wheat, Jesus faced the fate of a weed. He drank the cup that you and I had earned, drained it for us as he died on the cross. Forsaken by man and God, his true Father, he suffered the fires of hell there. But because Jesus bore the guilt of the whole world in his body on the tree, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And since you have been baptized, you are in Christ Jesus. For all who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. His character, as the best of wheat, is graciously assigned to you and to me on account of faith. Because of the punishment Jesus suffered, every sinner, all who trust in him, are counted as wheat, children of the kingdom. Even now he sends his Holy Spirit through his word, the Spirit through whom he once called you by the gospel, to enlighten you with his gifts, to sanctify you, and to keep you in the true faith. Even now, Jesus is at work in you through his Spirit to will and to do according to his good pleasure, constraining your weedy impulses and enabling and strengthening you to bear the good grain that gives glory to God. His work through baptism continues each time you repent and believe that forgiveness is for you for Jesus' sake. It continues as you read the scriptures and other books and materials that proclaim God's truth of sin and grace. It continues as you hear the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, read and proclaimed and spoken in church, at home, or wherever you hear it. And it continues each time Jesus invites you to the table, where he comes to you in bread and wine, his own body and blood, again forgiving you, assuring you of his mercy and grace, and strengthening you to resist the temptations with which the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh confront you. As Jesus gives himself to you at the altar, renewing his communion with you, bestowing his holiness and righteousness on you, he gives you a foretaste of the feast to come. Perfect joy in his presence forever. In the Holy Supper, Jesus allows you to join already now in the victory which he won for you, the victory you will celebrate forever with all the redeemed when the angels come to gather you to be with him forever. Jesus concludes, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." With these words, he invites his disciples and you and me today to pay careful attention to this parable and his explanation of it. It's a vivid story, easy to remember, something to return to and on which to meditate in the coming week. In this parable, Jesus reveals God as a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. When you take his teaching here to heart, you will be moved to repentance, and fearing his wrath and relying on his mercy, you will join the psalmist in praying, "Lord, I am yours. Save me." You are his. He has saved you. Saved you by his life of perfect obedience in your place, and by his innocent suffering and death on the cross for your sin. It's true. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.